We are in week 5 of our Noah series called I, Noah Guy. And I hope you guys have been enjoying this series as much as I have, digging deep into the life of Noah. I think, how many of you have learned that the Noah story has more than just Noah was on a boat in a flood? We have unpacked so much in the life of Noah, learning how we can live our life serving the Lord. And this morning we're talking about a life of obedience, a life of obedience. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 9, the first part of chapter 9, verses 1 through 17 is where we're going to be this morning. If you have your phone and church app, you can, follow along there with the scripture and notes and all of those great things. But when I was a kid, I could find a workaround for anything. Anything my mom told me to do, I could work around. If my mom said to clean my room, I would take everything out of my room and shove it into the hallway and say that I cleaned my room. Some of you, you shove it into the closet, shove it under the bed, and look, hey, I didn't actually have to clean my room, but it looks clean, and I kind of worked around having to do the work. If she told me to take out the trash, I would go and get the trash out of the garbage, and I would go and I would take it outside and set it outside the door and say, Mom, I took out the trash. So I didn't have to walk all the way to the trash can. Anybody good at workarounds? Anybody, or is it just me? Man, they're great. And in my mind, I was still obeying my mom. I did what she asked me to do, just maybe not the way that she asked me to do it. And I'm not the only one smart enough to do this. I want to share a couple of examples with you. One kid wanted to get a snack and watch YouTube on his tablet, but he wasn't allowed to have the tablet in the kitchen while they were eating, and he wasn't allowed to have snacks in the living room. Anybody have that rule in their house, those of you that have kids, had kids? So this was his workaround, if you want to show it up there on the screen. He kept his snack in the kitchen and put the tablet on the edge of the floor in the living room and was able to have his snack and watch YouTube. That's a great workaround from a kid. A student in college wasn't allowed to have girls in his dorm room. I remember this when Kinsey and I were in college. But his girlfriend wanted to come over and watch a movie, and being poor college students, they didn't have money to go see a movie, so this was their workaround from having to have somebody over. Just put the couch outside, and then you're not in the dorm. And lastly, these siblings were told that only their dad could open the cabinet drawer to get out their video games and had a lock on it. So the siblings listened to their dad, and they didn't unlock the cabinet to get the video games out. Instead, they did this. They just took the top drawer out, left the drawer closed, and got the video games out. Come on. Those are some good workarounds right there. I share all of this with you to say that no one likes having to obey, right? Many of us, myself included, when somebody tells us to do something, we by nature want to be stubborn and do the complete opposite. When my wife says, hey, will you go and do this? I immediately want to be the stubborn person that says, no, you told me to do that, so I'm not going to do it now. I was going to do it until you told me not to. That's one of my favorite phrases with my wife. We become stubborn. Nobody likes to obey. But a life, well, I'm skipping too far ahead now. We're not inherently obedient people, but a life of obedience, listen to this, leads to a life of blessing. A life of obedience leads to a life of blessing. We see Noah's obedience to God played out through the faithfulness in building the ark, his willingness to step onto the boat, and his worship to God. Everything that Noah did in his life was in obedience to the Lord, and that's why he was a righteous man, and Genesis reveals Noah's blessing from his obedience in chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. We're going to read that together this morning. Because a life of obedience leads to a life of blessing. It says this, then God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. I want you to know that being fruitful and multiplying is a blessing from the Lord. Amen. All of you married people, the things you do to be fruitful and multiply is a blessing from the Lord. I think you get what I'm saying. All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I've placed them in your power. I've given them to you for food, just as I've given you grain and vegetables, but you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it. And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person's life will also be taken by human hands. For God made human beings in his own image. Now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. Then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants and with all the animals, and we're on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, all the wild animals, every living creature on the earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures for all generations to come. I've placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. And when I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on earth. This passage of scripture talks about the blessings that Noah received from his life of obedience to the Lord. But this passage of scripture also has a lot of things that may have you asking questions. And I want to address some of those questions in a moment. But first, can we acknowledge all of the blessings that God's covenant entails? We just saw that God's blessing was to be fruitful and multiply. Noah, the blessing of your obedience is that your family will expand for generations. God's blessing says, I confirm my covenant with you and your descendants. So not only will you be blessed, but your future generations will also be blessed. God says, I've placed the animals in your power. So God is blessing Noah with power over everything on the earth. He says, I've given them to you for food. God is blessing Noah with the ability to eat meat. He says, never again will I flood the earth and destroy it. You can live a long life and prosper. Living a long life is a blessing from the Lord. And God says, my anger will not be unleashed on the earth again. There's so many blessings that Noah receives in this one part of scripture, all because he lived a life of obedience to the Lord. Because a life of obedience leads to a life of blessing. So what can we learn from Noah's life of obedience, and particularly this passage of scripture, that will help us live a life of obedience to the Lord today? The first one is this, that you must obey even when you don't understand. That's a hard one. You must obey even when you don't understand. This is probably one of the hardest things for me as a person because I like to know everything. I like to know details. Anybody like to know details? Anybody? I love the details. And so if somebody tells me to do something, I'm going to want to know why. I'm going to want to know when. I'm going to want to know how step by step they want me to do it. And then I will be obedient, but I feel like I can't be fully obedient if I don't understand exactly what the person is wanting me to do. See, these verses that we just read bring up a lot of questions that most of you have probably asked yourself before. Questions like, well, God gives Noah permission to eat meat. So did people eat meat before God told Noah that he could? Why couldn't Noah eat meat with blood in it? Why was that one of the requirements? Was the death penalty not allowed before this time? Because there's this whole passage of scripture where God says, hey, if somebody kills somebody or an animal kills somebody, that person or that animal needs to be put to death. So does that mean that that's when God is enacting the death penalty? Is the death penalty biblical? What is going on here? Why is God allowing murderers to be killed now instead of back when Cain killed Abel? Right? When Cain killed Abel, he banished Cain. And then when Cain's descendant, Lamech, went and started killing people and was bragging about it, God didn't strike him dead. So what's going on here? And why did God choose a rainbow as the sign of his covenant with Noah and the world? Anybody wondered that before? We have so many questions about why we must obey the Lord. God, why did you say that I can do this, but I can't do this? God, why does your word say that this is how I need to live my life to serve you? Because I thought that there was grace as well. And sometimes we don't understand everything that the Lord tells us to do to obey him. There's a lot of questions that we can ask, and some of them we'll look at. But some we can only assume the answers because the Bible doesn't specifically tell us. That still means that we trust and obey the Lord, even when we don't understand. For example, the question, did people eat meat before God told Noah that he could? Or was everybody on earth vegans before this moment in chapter 9 right here? Well, the Bible doesn't say one way or the other, right? It could be that Noah was on the boat for so long that God didn't want him to eat any of the animals because it would be difficult enough for him to keep them alive on the boat for over a year. And now that he's off the boat, God is now telling Noah, hey, you can eat meat again. And maybe people have been able to eat meat all along. It also could be that nobody ate meat in the Garden of Eden or after they got kicked out, and now God is giving them permission. We simply don't know because Scripture doesn't say, right? It doesn't say, but that still means even if we don't understand, we still trust and obey the Lord. The thing is, we just don't know, and that's okay. Not knowing the answers to our questions makes it hard to trust God because we are naturally skeptical people. And we look at things in the Bible like, man, were people allowed to eat meat before or not? I don't really understand this passage of Scripture, so I'm not going to really obey anything that God says in the Bible because it's all probably going to be confusing to me and I don't understand it. But not knowing the answers to our questions makes it hard to trust because we're naturally skeptical. And so we say, man, I don't know, so I'm just not going to obey. Think about your response to this entire COVID-19 pandemic. We ask questions like, was it started in a lab or was it spread from a wild bat? Do masks slow the spread or do they not work? Is the vaccine safe or is it not tested enough? Is COVID as deadly as some people think or is it not as bad? And we ask all of these questions, and let's be honest, most of us don't really know. We're not scientists. We weren't there when these things happened. We simply don't know. And because of that, as a nation, we have become skeptical of what people are telling us, because when we don't understand, we simply say we're not going to obey. Now, I'm not getting into the political of it all and whether we should obey or not obey. That's not what I'm trying to do. But this mindset that we have, where we can't verify the information based on our own knowledge, so trust and therefore obedience is difficult for us, that mindset bleeds over into our relationship with Christ as well. We have questions the Bible doesn't specifically answer, or maybe you have questions that the Bible does answer, but you haven't been following Jesus long enough to have found them in the Bible and wrestle with them yourselves. If we aren't careful, our lack of understanding on a topic in the Bible will lead us to a lack of trust in Christ and ultimately a lack of obeying the words that God has given us to follow. When it comes to the Scriptures, we must learn to be obedient without understanding everything. Because Scripture also says that the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. That if he takes care of the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, then he'll take care of us as well. That doesn't mean we have to understand how it all works. We don't have to understand how the cosmos was created and if it was a big bang and it was over millions of years or if God did it in 7 days. We don't have to understand all of these things to trust and obey the Lord with our salvation of our souls. That doesn't mean that we don't try to understand more and learn more. But the difference is that when we don't understand, we trust and obey less. Instead, as believers, when we don't understand, we must obey more. When we don't understand, we obey more. Jesus says anyone who loves him will obey his teaching. John 14, 23. Jesus doesn't say, anyone who agrees with me will obey my teaching. He doesn't say, anyone who understands everything that I say will obey my teaching. He says, anybody who loves me will obey my teaching. We trust and obey the Lord because we love him and he has saved us from the sin in our lives and saved us from an eternity in hell. And so we say, Lord, if you did that for me, then I will obey whatever you ask me to do because I trust you in this matter. Even if I don't understand everything that you say in the Bible, even if I don't understand all of the ins and outs and the workings of things, I will trust and obey you because you saved my life. We obey the Lord even when we don't understand. We don't have to know every word in the Bible, what every word in the Bible means in original Greek or Hebrew. We don't have to understand the historical and textual context behind every single story and Bible verse to know exactly the way that God meant for us to apply it to our lives. We must simply obey the words of the Lord. We have to know the word in order to properly obey the Lord. But sometimes we can get caught up in the mindset of, well, I don't know what Jesus meant when he said this. When he said, man, if you lust after somebody, you've committed adultery in your own heart. I don't really understand all of the workings of that. And so I'm just going to dismiss what Jesus said and act like I don't have to listen to that part. We can't pick and choose what parts of the Bible we obey. We must obey it all, even the parts we don't understand. Because obeying and relying more on God will lead us to more understanding. Listen to that. If we obey the Lord more, we will understand more. That's what the Bible tells us. It's not that God doesn't want us to understand all of the things he's asked us to do or not to do or what he's written in the Bible. He does. But it's God who will give us the understanding, not ourselves. This is what he says in Psalm 32:8. I will instruct you. Who? The Lord. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Psalm 25:5 says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior and my hope is in you all day long. The psalmist is saying, Lord, you need to teach me. I can't figure this stuff out on my own. I need you to teach me. Proverbs 4:11, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Psalm 25:7-8, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. It's the Lord who brings understanding to the things that we don't understand. But if we don't obey the Lord, even in our lack of understanding, we will never understand what it is God is asking us to do. Because obedience leads to more understanding. So we must obey even when we don't understand. The second thing about living a life of blessing is this, that your obedience guides you into God's eternal blessing. Your obedience guides you into God's eternal blessing. I know that's a long phrase right there, and we're gonna unpack it. And I have some good news for you. This is my last point this morning, okay? So just bear with me. The less points I have, you can guarantee probably the longer the message. Just so you know, because I had so much stuff to put in that I had to cut something out. The more points I have, you know I'm going to fly by them. That's a good thing. But your obedience guides you into God's eternal blessing. See, on Wednesday nights, we're walking through an overview of the entire Bible. And we're seeing how all 66 books of the Bible is one connected story. And I don't know about you guys, but I have been loving it. And even though about 40 different people wrote the Bible, it was one God who inspired them all to write down what he spoke to them. So it's one story. And I want you to pay attention to this point, because you're about to see a great example of the Bible being one big story, because we're about to go from Genesis in this passage, in this sermon, all the way to Revelation. I'm going to do my best to lay this out for you. But our obedience guides us into God's eternal blessing. The blessings that God spoke over Noah was signed by a covenant that God made with Noah. And we know that Noah lived a life of obedience to the Lord. Whatever the Lord asked him to do, he did it, no questions asked. So the blessings was signed by a covenant that God made with him. And that covenant was then sealed by a rainbow. So it's like this. If God wrote a letter to Noah saying, here's all of the instructions of what you need to do in your life and how you need to obey me, God would take that letter and he would put it in an envelope. And the envelope would be kind of like the covenant. And then he would take his seal and he would seal the outside of it. And that rainbow is the seal of the covenant, the letter that God made with Noah. So God made a covenant promising all of these blessings to Noah for his obedience, and it was sealed with a rainbow. God gave the rainbow as the sign for Noah and the rest of the generations following him to know that God is keeping his promise of not flooding the earth. Now, you may be wondering why God chose a rainbow as the sign that he wouldn't flood the earth ever again. Well, I have a theory. It's actually not a theory. It's found in Scripture. Why did God choose a rainbow as a sign that he wouldn't flood the earth again, destroying every person, plant, or animal? It's been thought by scientists and theologians much smarter than me that before the flood, it never rained. Never rained. That all the water that was on the earth came up from the ground through rivers, through springs, through underground wells. And that's what kept the plants and the animals alive. Scientists and theologians way smarter than me say that there was this thing called a firmament around the world that held all of the water in the sky back from actually falling to the ground. You can do some research on your own and look all of that up. And the reason why people thought that Noah was so stupid for building an ark is because it never rained before. And he's like, hey, you guys might want to build your own arks because God is coming and he's going to flood the earth. And they're like, it's never flooded before. You're saying rain's going to fall from the sky. That's never happened. You're stupid for thinking that. Well, water had never fallen from the sky. It only coming from the ground. But the way that God flooded the earth we see in Scripture was this. One, by erupting the underground waters to overflowing. And two, by a torrential rain that poured for 40 days and 40 nights. That's why the only time we ever see a rainbow is after it rains. Because the way that God flooded the earth was through rain falling from the sky. So anytime rain falls from the sky and we see a rainbow, God is saying, hey, here is my covenant. Here is the seal. You know that this promise was for me and I won't destroy the world. I'm not going to punish you from your sins just yet because I still have grace for you. It's God's seal reminding us that this rain will end. Mark Twain, famous author, most of you know, there's a story of him and a friend were walking out of church one day. And as they're walking out of church, all of a sudden it is just raining cats and dogs. And Mark Twain's friend turns to him and says, man, I wonder if this storm will ever end. And Mark Twain says, it always has. It always has. It's always stopped. Every rain that we've ever had stops. And that's God's promise for us with this seal. Now, most of you agree with my understanding so far that the reason why there's a rainbow after it rains is because that's how God flooded the earth and he's promising us that he won't do it that way again. But here's the rest of what I want to lay out about how our obedience leads us to God's eternal blessing, okay? So stick with me. When we look at a rainbow, we see this, right? We see a beautiful rainbow, a beautiful arc over the sky. That we have so many rainbows out here on the mountains. You can look out at any moment and you can see the rainbow. However, that's not what a rainbow actually looks like. Rainbow doesn't look like an arch. A rainbow looks like this next picture. It's actually a circle in the sky. Now, it's extremely rare to see a full circular rainbow because you have to get so high up in elevation in order to see it. In fact, we didn't even discover that rainbows were circular until we were able to fly, because that's how rare they are to see. So a rainbow is actually a circle, which is extremely important. This is God's seal to humanity. So the rainbow means more than just God keeping his judgment at bay. The rainbow reminds us of the fact that God's grace, God's promises, and his blessings always come back full circle. That this covenant that God made, no matter how evil humanity gets, will stand because God's grace can be trusted. God's promises can be trusted. God's blessings can be relied upon in your life. And just like the rainbow is a full circle to remind us that God's grace and blessings never end, we see this idea of a circle all throughout Scripture. Later on with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God confirms his covenant with them through circumcision. And circumcision symbolizes a couple of things. One, it's the complete cutting away of sin in your life. That's what it represents. God is separating Abraham and his family from the rest of the world, and it's a cutting away. But two, it is a full circle. I don't think I have to get into learning how a circumcision actually happens. I think you all know that. But it's full circle. In other words, circumcision is an illustration of God's complete grace and promises being fulfilled when we separate ourselves from sin and live in obedience to God's word. When the Israelites were obedient and living a life of holiness and separation from sin, God's blessings were poured out on them. And when they didn't live separated from their sin, God's blessings didn't flow as much. And eventually they went into exile. Likewise, we see this circle meaning so much about trusting and relying upon grace and truth and blessings when we get married. We symbolize our love for our spouse by a wedding ring. That is a circle, and it symbolizes our eternal love for that person. So here's what we see. A circle reminds us of God's blessing that never ends. It reminds us to live in obedience and separation from sin, and it reminds us of God's eternal love. Now, what does a rainbow being a circle have to do with God's blessings, obedience, and eternal nature? Well, the rainbow reminds us that our obedience guides us into God's eternal blessing. At least that's what the Bible seems to indicate. We believe as Christians that the greatest blessing we can ever receive from Jesus is to live with him for eternity in heaven. That's the greatest blessing that we will receive from Jesus, is to live with him for all of eternity. In fact, this blessing is so great that it has a special name called the Blessed Hope. It is our blessed hope that we live with Jesus for eternity. And the way that we get with Jesus for eternity is by living a life of obedience towards God now, living a life of separated from sin, and a life loving the Lord. Remember what John 14:23 says. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them." If you love the Lord and you obey him, you will live with him for eternity. That's what Jesus says. Look at what the Apostle John sees in the book of Revelation when he's given a vision of the throne room of God. This is incredible. I want you to catch this. John says, "Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast. The voice said, 'Come up here, and I'll show you what must happen after this.' And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. And the one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, like jasper and carnelian," I think is how you pronounce that. "Look at this. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow." So in Genesis chapter 9, we see God confirm his covenant with Noah with a rainbow, saying that my grace can be trusted, my blessings can be trusted. If you obey me, if you live a righteous life and you serve me, my blessings will flow to you. God makes a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the rest of their descendants, that the covenant is confirmed by circumcision, that if you separate yourself from sin and you obey me and you serve me and you love me and you trust in my grace, then all of my blessings will be poured out to you. And Jesus tells us that if we love him, then God will make our home with them. We see from Genesis all the way through, and now in Revelations, this rainbow comes back up. The Apostle John saw a full rainbow that encircled God's throne. And Genesis 9:16 tells us when God looks at this rainbow around his throne, he is reminded of the eternal covenant he has made with you and I. Here's the interesting thing. A rainbow comes and goes in the world, right? That when it rains, it appears. Not every time it rains, but when it rains, it appears. And that's our sign to look and to remember God's promise and covenant and blessings on us. But God has a permanent rainbow surrounding his throne that he is constantly reminding himself of the blessings and the promises and the eternal covenant he has made with you and I. And when we look at that rainbow in the sky, we are to remind ourselves of the eternal covenant that God has made with us, that there is a blessed hope that we get to reign and rule with Christ for eternity in heaven. And our obedience to God here on earth guides us to receive that eternal blessing. When you and I obey the Lord, when we listen to his word, when we deny our flesh and live in the spirit, then the Lord is glorified and he unleashes his blessing on us, not only on this earth, but in the future to come. It's our obedience that ensures that we are walking through the narrow gate into the eternal presence of Jesus. So this morning, I want to ask you a simple question. Have you been living a life of obedience to the Lord? Or have you used a lack of understanding as an excuse to ignore some of his commands? I just don't understand everything, so I'm just going to kind of put that aside and I'll maybe figure that out later. Because how you obey the Lord now will have a significant impact on your spiritual health. If you aren't obeying the Lord and you're only living by his grace, you are in a dangerous place because God's grace has a limit. There will be a day when his judgment comes. And we must be living our lives in obedience to Christ along with his grace to ensure that we are not falling back into a life of sin so we can be sure of the hope of an eternal relationship with Christ. And I don't know about you, but I know that I need to be more obedient to Christ in my own life. I need to know his word better than I do so I can obey it more. I need to listen to the voice of the Lord when he speaks to me and do what he asked me to do. We all need to take time and reflect on our obedience to the Lord and ask him to help us live a life in full surrender to him. So I want us to listen to this worship song. And I want you to find a place in this sanctuary, in your seat, in the front of the room, wherever you want. And I want you to get alone with Jesus and pray for help in being obedient to him. Or even simply just listen to the words of the song and make them your prayer this morning. We all need to live a life of obedience to the Lord.
Tempting me to teach me to obey.
Lord, I pray that you will just teach us to obey your words and your truth. Lord, thank you for teaching us through your word that a life of obedience leads to a life of blessing. Even when we don't understand everything, that if we simply obey what we know that you have asked us to obey, you will teach us and help us to understand the things that we don't. And that our obedience will lead us to an eternal hope, an eternal blessed hope, that we get to reign with you for eternity in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Help us to be obedient to the words that you have written for us. In your name, Jesus.